My name is Norman Wrigglesworth. I was an able seaman in the Royal Navy from 43 to 1947. We were always short of food at sea, and we did not have much refrigeration. The living quarters were very cramped. At breakfast time, we had bread and jam and tea, and then we used to pass the potatoes around, and each man peeled one potato. It sounds funny, but no water. And then the cook of the day put them in a pot, take them to the galley, they wash them, cut them up, and prepare them for dinner, you see. At sea, we never got a full 8 hours sleep, usually 3 hours and 50 minutes, because we did four-hour watches. Then if action stations went, that was the end of that. Towards the end of the war, we were docked in Taranto, Italy, and we went to a Commonwealth rest camp in Bari. It was mostly Australians and Brits, very few Canadians. But we had three big meals a day, and we only checked in once a day. My buddy and I used to get horses. There was no saddle, no stirrups, so we went half a mile away to a GI camp and to give equestrian lessons for a bottle of wine. That was my fee. I used to cup my hands and said to G.I. Joe, now you put your right foot in my hands, and I swung him over the back, facing the horse's arse or facing the rear end. There was 100 troops in a three-story brick building, laughing like hell. The Royal Performance, they call it. We actually got 9 days there because when the war ended, we couldn't get a train back to Taranto. The troops went crazy VA day. Some got drunk and cut my blanket into 5 pieces and set the place on fire. I saw the commanding officer, and the man who did the damage had to buy me a new blanket. When the war was over, thousands and thousands of prisoners of war were transferred to the south of Italy. We finally got a train going south, and we stopped every hour for the prisoners to use the toilets. There were no toilets in boxcars. All the Aussie troops stood guard. There seemed to be so many spur lines to the mainland, and we kept stopping and stopping for more pit stops. When we went back to UK through the Bay of Biscay, it was so rough, half of the crew was seasick. Seems funny when you've been at sea for 18 months like I'd been, but it was so rough. My next ship was an aircraft carrier converted to a cruise ship. When we slept in bunk beds and went from the cabin down to the dining room to have our lunch, it was real luxury. I made one trip to Australia and back, one trip to Ceylon and back, one trip to Hong Kong and back, and my final trip was to Canada. The captain addressed us all. He said, we don't want anyone with bad characters because you've got to be an ambassador for the British government and behave yourself when you go to Canada. So I was a good boy. I went to Canada with a war bride. It was very interesting. We brought about 500 war brides here. This was in October 46. We had an agreement with the United States that we could not sell any part of the planes which we put on the ship, and they ditched them overboard. It was called a lease and lend agreement, and the skipper called us all on deck. He said, you can help yourself, but if the customs catch you when you get home, that's your problem. So I never took nothing because I didn't have any tools, but it was a shame all those brand new planes ditched in the sea, but that was the agreement. In Norfolk, Virginia, I had missed the bus, and the U.S. Navy officer gave me and my buddy a ride, then asked me for a dime to put in a post. And I thought it was crazy. This is the first time I saw a parking meter. Parking meters were only invented in 1936. This was in 1946, and there was none in England, and I didn't see none in Canada. The next cultural shock was when I was on a train to New York, when the Navy said you can order anything you like, and this coloured waiter brought me a cup of hot water. I said, sir, I want tea, not hot water. He said, hey, buddy, you see that little thing there? That's a tea bag. You dunk it in your cup, and that's tea. I thought it was pulling my leg, but that's what it was.